Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Lisa Smiley, and the reason that she came to my attention is because I have a wonderful son who reads all the time, and from time to time he says something like this: Lisa might be a good guest on AIC. And so we got in touch with Lisa and asked if she'd be willing to talk with us about the way that God has worked in her life and the lessons she's learned concerning what it means to be pro-life. She recently wrote, "True Pro-Life Convictions Are Non-Negotiable." Lisa, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jim, for having me on.
Certainly. Now, you were born in China and moved
to
New Zealand when you were four, grew up there until you were 18, and then your family decided to move to America.
Yes, so I've traveled quite a bit.
I would say so. You hold a bachelor's degree in philosophy from University of California, Irvine. And I like this. I have smarter philosophical friends than I, so I try to live vicariously through them by asking a lot of deep, deep questions.
Yeah, that's right.
Good line. Now, you came to know Jesus when you were in your teens. Tell us about how that happened. How did you come to know the Lord?
You know, I actually grew up in a family that wasn't Christian. My parents were not believers, but they had Christian friends who offered my parents babysitting, basically, to take all their six children to church with them. It was a Chinese Presbyterian church. And so my parents agreed. You know, they trusted these friends of theirs. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, we actually had a pretty decent Christian background. I mean, a Christian teaching on biblical principles, because we went to church with my parents' Christian friends. And so when I was a teenager, I came to know the Lord, and I think it wasn't until I was around 16 that I truly gave my life to Christ. Because, you know, growing up, you hear these stories and you kind of assume, you know, you're kind of saved, but it wasn't until I was 16, and then I met this Christian couple in the mall, and at that time, I wasn't really serving the Lord. Even though I had grown up learning about God and Jesus. And so, you know, they invited me to their church. And so I went, and I just had this amazing encounter with Jesus where I really gave my heart to him, and
praise
I surrendered
God.
My life to him.
Praise God. That really makes all the difference when you move from just believing intellectually to really trusting him relationally. That makes all the difference.
Yes, and the amazing thing is all my siblings have come to know Christ.
Praise God.
And today we're still praying for my parents who haven't yet made the decision. But I think through just seeing us live our lives and having children and, you know, just the values that we live by, I really feel like, you know, it's inevitable that they will come to know Christ, and that's something that I pray for them, you know, on a regular basis for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, you recently wrote, "In my decision to vote for a candidate in an election, the right to life is the most important issue I consider. Perhaps it is because my own life was saved and redeemed from abortion. I am alive today because my Chinese mother broke the law and gave birth to me. Raising my sisters and me in communist China, where a violent family planning regime forces parents into aborting additional children, my mother risked her life and safety to keep us from being taken by armed government agents." Now that is a powerful testimony. Your mom, who didn't even know the Lord, knew that children are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And she valued your life and the lives of your siblings. And that is a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Now, you have had this matter of pro-life come home to you in another way, and that is through your son, Zeke.
Yes, so our son, Zeke, I became pregnant with our firstborn when I was 23. And so my husband and I were so excited, you know, as all new parents are. But at our 20-week ultrasound, they found that he had a major heart defect called hypoplastic left heart syndrome, which basically means that his heart is only half developed, and so he only has half a functioning heart. And, you know, the doctors pressured us to abort him and, you know, told us, you know, think about your wife, think about your family. And, you know, they said that, you know, one day we'll bury our son and that it's inevitable. And that's the kind of things that they told my husband. But, you know, being Christians and going through what I went through, you know, with my parents choosing life for me, we just could not even think about going down that road. And so we, you know, we gave birth to my son Zeke, and yes, he had a lot of health issues, and he was in the hospital, you know, in and out throughout his life. And so, you know, I really had to choose life for my own children, just as my parents did for us. And my pro-life convictions were really tested during that time because we actually went through those difficult circumstances where a lot of parents have actually chosen abortion.
Yes.
And I've been able to use my testimony to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, these children who are born with disabilities or health issues, you know, their lives are just as valuable as ours.
Amen. Amen. When my oldest boy, the one who sent me the link to your article here. When he was just a little guy in the hospital, at Children's Hospital in Boston, the chief surgical resident there at the hospital took me aside one evening and he said, Mr. Wood, I want to be sure that you know that you don't have to worry about this ever happening again. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, it's now possible to detect these children in the womb. And I said, and repair the defect? And he said, no, terminate the pregnancy.
Wow.
And I said, oh, well, why don't we go into the room here where my son is and go ahead and kill him now? And he said, what? And I said, well, he's just a few days old. So why don't we go in the room and kill him now? And he obviously could tell that I was angry. And he said, well, I see that I've upset you. I realize it's an emotional subject. I said, I'm not being emotional. I'm asking you to be rational. What is the difference between going in the room and killing my son right now and killing him before he's born? And he said, well, I'm sorry, I see that I've offended you. I went to his boss and I said, you make sure that man doesn't come in the room where my son is. He's not to treat my son. He might be a well-respected physician, but he doesn't regard my son's life as worth living. I don't want him treating my son. I don't want him anywhere involved in my son's care. We are living in a culture where a lot of people in the medical field and in society at large think that certain lives are just not worth living. And you know better, don't you?
Yes, I do, because, you know, even though Zeke was born with all these health issues, you know, he gave us so much joy and happiness in our lives. And, you know, recently he just passed away around 2 months ago. But I wouldn't not change anything that we did in terms of, you know, giving him life and giving him that opportunity to live the one life that God has given him. And, you know, we all only have one life. So when we choose to snuff out the lives of these babies, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, And the fact is, God has a plan for each of us. And your photos that you've posted of you with Zeke and of your husband with Zeke, you know, those of us who have a child with special needs, we know that those children are not a burden, they're a blessing. God uses them to teach us. I've learned a whole lot more through my son, Paul, than I ever got in graduate school. God has used my love for Paul to teach me a lot about God's love for me, that it's not based on what I can do. It's based on the relationship that we have. And Lisa, I know that you have walked this journey with courage, and yet it has been a difficult thing. Your husband wrote the book, My Darkest Hour, and in it he shares some of his struggles with his faith and his experience as a daddy going through the traumatic experience of almost losing Zeke back before the Lord did take him home. When he was 6 years old, your son suddenly went into cardiac arrest and suffered a severe brain injury from that. And that had to be an extremely difficult time. But when my son was going through some of his great difficulties, my wife spoke to me and was used by God to teach me and remind me of something that I really have clung to over and over again since, and that is, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. I wasn't sure if my son was going to live or die. And for now, thank God, he's still alive. But what my wife pointed out is, you're wondering if our son's going to live. We don't know if we're going to live. God doesn't promise those of us who are in good health are going to get to stick around for 80 years. The fact of the matter is, any of us could be called home in a moment. And so all of us need to realize what a precious gift life is. Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's Word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day-to-day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Folks, we're talking with Lisa Smiley, who is a blogger and who is a friend in the pro-life community. Those of us who care about children and the right to life have a wonderful advocate and supporter in Lisa Smiley. I hope that her story is an encouragement to you. Now, Lisa, your journey with regard to this has made you very, shall we say, demanding when it comes to politicians. You are not comfortable with a politician who is saying that they're pro-life, but not necessarily showing it.
Yes, for me, the pro-life issue and standing up for the lives of the defenseless is a non-negotiable for me. I start with that. When I look at candidates, I ask, are they pro-life? Have they had a history of being pro-life for an extended period of time? Mm-hmm. And have they done anything for the pro-life movement? Because
yes,
you know that the pro-life movement, there's so much momentum right now, and all throughout our country, pro-life laws are being passed, and Planned Parenthood clinics are being shut down, mm-hmm. And more women are seeing, you know, these babies, they're actual people, you know, like, there are a lot of pregnancy resource centers now which provide ultrasounds, and when these mothers see their babies in the womb, right in front of them on the computer screen. They see that, you know, this is a little child.
Yes.
And so in today's day and age, we cannot ignore that fact with all the technologies that we have and all the medical advances where we can actually see in the womb and see these little babies with tiny hands and tiny, tiny feet. It's just undeniable to me.
Amen. Now, Lisa, I'm assuming that you saw also the videos that were shot of the undercover videos that were shot of the folks from Planned Parenthood talking about the lengths that they go to turning the child within the womb and so forth in order to be able to harvest more parts intact, which they then sell for pre-established prices. The different body parts, they say they're just, I mean, why would you expect truth from people who take lives for a living? But they say they're just getting reimbursed for the cost. And yet, if that's the case, why are there different costs for different body parts? You know, these people are not only murderers, they're liars. Surprise, surprise. But the videos show them offering to turn the child within the womb in order to be able to protect more of the body parts for people who were saying that they wanted to buy those parts. And how in the world can, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, how can they say that Planned Parenthood does good work? That's like saying, well, you know, killing Jews isn't the only thing that happened at Auschwitz. You know, I mean, how in the world can we praise the largest institutional, tax-funded killer of children in the country? And that's what Planned Parenthood is. But Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both want us to know that they think it's a wonderful organization that does great work. That's a problem. And if you're a Christian and somebody's praising folks who kill babies, I got a problem with that. And Lisa, I know you do too.
Yes, and our feelings about Donald Trump, I mean, a lot of pro-life advocates have said, you know, Donald Trump is Planned Parenthood's favorite Republican candidate.
Yes.
Because of the things that he has said, you know, he says it does wonderful things and it does a really good job of helping women. When they've lied to the public that they provide mammograms when they don't.
Right. Let's please clarify that. They do not provide mammograms. They've said for years that's one of the things that they do. And when they were asked to put up the proof and show where they were doing mammograms, okay, we really don't. So they
right.
don't do the things they say they do that supposedly are so beneficial for women.
Yes. And, you know, Donald Trump keeps on singing the praises of Planned Parenthood. And for me, that's a problem. For me, that just tells me that his pro-life convictions may not be, you know, truly his. He may be just saying a lot of these things in order to get votes. And for me, that's just not okay.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Obviously, I don't tell people on this program how to vote as far as which candidate to vote for, but I will tell you this. You ought to vote prayerfully, and you ought to vote intelligently. If I had a guy who came to my house and he had a beautiful shiny truck and a trailer on the back with fabulous lawn care equipment, and I said, well, you know, tell me about your philosophy of lawn care. And he said, well, you know, we're careful to protect the shrubs. We are very sensitive to the height that the grass needs to be cut. But you do need to be aware that if we see any kids out there in the grass, we just go right on over them. I wouldn't have to make up my mind whether or not I was going to hire that person to do my lawn care. I would send them away in a heartbeat. Because if you don't know not to kill children, if that isn't clear to you, then whatever your other talents may be, I don't trust you. And we've got politicians in both parties who claim to be very good at any number of things. But if you look at their history, and if you look at what they're still saying today, it becomes very clear that when it comes to children, and especially children in the womb. They are not pro-life. If you really care about the children, then they take precedence over convenience. They take precedence over political correctness. They take precedence because God has placed a premium on human life. That's why kids are valuable. It's not because of what they can contribute to society. It's because God says, see to it you do not look down on one of these little ones. And so I would encourage those of you who are listening today to prayerfully consider how God would have you to vote. And I would urge you to know well what the candidates say and what the candidates have done. Because if you vote from the standpoint of ignorance, you'll still be accountable for your vote. You need to be informed, and you need to be prayerful, and you need to do what God tells you. Now, if you're out there and you're angry with me today, I'd love to hear from you. If you're out there and you're saying, I can't believe that sounds like a criticism of my favorite candidate, well, tell me that. I'd be glad to hear from you. But let me ask you to do one other thing. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because this isn't about who's going to win. This is about our accountability to God for what we do with the vote that He has given us to be stewards of. A lot of people I know are just so disgusted by the whole thing, they're walking away, saying, I'm not going to be a part of the system. Well, let me tell you something. You better be praying, and you better do whatever God tells you, because all of us are going to be accountable for what we do in the coming years as this government seems bent on reflecting the will of a society that seems bent on doing evil. More and more and more, this country seems to me to be under the judgment of God, and we're getting the kind of leadership that reflects that. If you look back at what happened to Israel in the Old Testament, when they turned away from God and wanted to pursue other gods, you can't serve God and mammon, Jesus said. And if the thing that matters most, whether you're in church or not, if the thing that matters most to you is material success, physical comfort, that kind of security, then you're not living for the Lord. And you need to repent, and you need to yield your life to Christ. This isn't about politics, folks. Politics just reflect what's going on spiritually. I'm concerned about your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know that He's the only one who saves. He's the one who rules and reigns, and He's not running for office. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. That's what we're bent on. But I'll tell you, making disciples not only means baptizing them, but teaching them to observe all that the Lord has commanded us. And certainly, that would include protecting the children. So Lisa, thank you for coming and sharing your story today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jim. And I couldn't have said it better. As voters, we do need to seek the Lord on this. And, you know, right now, we have to vet the candidates, and this is a job interview, so we can't just take what they say and think, oh, yes, that sounds good, so I'll vote for that candidate. There's so much that the president, you know, just the decisions that they make day in and day out affect us, and, you know, it's not just about the economy and about immigration, and we know that as Christians, that the president is the moral face of America, and you know, our children will look up to the president, and we, you know, are we comfortable with that?
Amen.
You know, as the candidate that we choose.
Amen. Lisa, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. And again, I look forward to meeting Zeke one of these days in heaven.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jim.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.